Welcome to Here I Am, Lord, a weekly faith-filled program about learning to say yes to Jesus in the ordinary moments of everyday life. Join Marta Kyle as she invites you to grow in faith, recognize God's voice in daily life, and discover simple ways to follow Christ more faithfully each day.
Well, welcome.
Hello, hello.
I am Marta Kyle.
And I'm Tara Wolfington.
And you are listening to Here I Am, Lord. We just had a wonderful introduction explaining that it is the daily way to say yes to the Lord in your daily walk.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, yes, Lord.
Yes, it's been a beautiful August so far, a little rainy. We had some big storms last night. There was some crazy thunder. I don't know if anyone who's in this area heard the thunder and the lightning, but it was pretty intense for about 10 minutes there.
And the rain.
Yeah.
I threw a lot of rain. A laundry basket out back.
Yes.
Just thinking, like, we get washed off by rainwater. And the holes in it are like halfway up the laundry basket. Mm-hmm. And there was literally over 3 inches of water in that basket this morning.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
It was rainy. So
Praise God, it was not in my basement.
Exactly. But it's beautiful out now. So I hope everyone's enjoying that sunshine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good and hot in the studio.
I know. Today. And today was an exciting week. We had, according to the visionaries in Medjugorje, yesterday was the Blessed Mother's birthday. So we went out and celebrated, had a little cake for Mary and sang happy birthday.
With a candle.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Let the little one blow it out.
Yes, that's very sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was fun. And I know it was my husband Kevin's birthday the day before, so I was thinking, oh, that's special.
Yeah, you have lots of cakes.
Yeah,
lots
and it candles. Was St. John Vianney's feast day, and our parish is St. John Vianney, so I thought that was so funny that Kevin's birthday falls on St. John Vianney's feast day, and we just accidentally landed in that parish.
Yeah.
No accidents with
that's
the Lord, right?
Right? It's a God wink.
Yes. So it's been a beautiful week, a beautiful start to our August here. And we have another great show for you today. So far, we have walked you through the Ten Commandments.
Yep.
And then we spoke about the roots, the vices, and the virtues, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those are like what's in our heart, the roots. And that's
right. The seven deadly sins.
Yes. And their opposing virtues. And that's ends up how we make our decisions, making or, you know, keeping or breaking these commandments. And so today we're going to talk about the gifts.
And then we went to confession.
Oh, yeah. We touched on confession.
Right. Mm-hmm. So then once you sin.
Yes.
And one of those root sins leads to more sins.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked like a lot about sin.
Yes, we did.
Now we're going to the happy place.
Yeah. Now we're going to go to the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Right. So we went to confession.
Yes.
What happens after?
You are filled with the Holy Spirit, sanctifying grace.
Sanctifying grace.
Yeah. So you can
so it's
remove
the happy
those
show.
Voids. Exactly. This is the happy
this
show.
This is the happy side. Marta was so happy we were on the other side of the sins.
Yes.
She Woo-hoo. Said, we're dragging. I feel like I'm dragging through the mud. I said, we are. It's the sins. We're dragging through the mud. But now we're on the other side.
Yes. We're going to get all cleaned up. We're going to take a shower, go to confession, wash the insides, right? Wash the soul clean. And then we're going to live in the gifts and the fruits of the Spirit.
Exactly.
The Holy Spirit. The only Spirit, right?
Right.
So we were going to start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle in us the fire of your love.
Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth.
O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise, and ever enjoy his consolations through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is what we are all working towards, are we not?
Yeah.
Hopefully.
And today's the Feast of the Transfiguration.
Yes, that is very important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where the Lord shows a few of the apostles.
Peter, James, and John.
Peter, James, and John. Mm-hmm. Himself transfigure into the light
into
of Christ.
The light.
Into the light of God.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Yep. And I love, that's actually my favorite when Peter says, Lord, it is good that we are here. Let us build three tents. That's my favorite. I don't know why. I just love that about Peter. they always say he's always speaking his mind and a little bit putting his foot in his mouth. And
right.
Because he was happy to live in the Consolations, right? He's like, I like it here. Let's stay. Let's make some three tents. We are not moving. But they also say, and I don't know if this is true or not, but I've read or, theologians have understood that perhaps the conversation the Lord was having with Moses and Elijah during the transfiguration was about his passion, right?
Right.
The fulfillment.
Because it's
of all the scriptures and the law and the prophets. Mm-hmm. And that's the fulfillment of all the scripture. So it actually does tie into the commandments, right?
Right. And the transfiguration. It's amazing how our shows always work
they
out.
They always work
we
out.
We didn't plan it to be today.
We never planned
these
things.
We missed a couple of weeks, remember, when we were doing the commandments.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So here we are.
Here we are.
And we're talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The indwelling of the Spirit.
Yes. And then, so we're going to review a little bit about wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So that's what you're talking about. After you go to confession and you get the absolution, what happens in that moment is that you are washed clean and the Spirit comes back into you. Because
yes,
the Holy Spirit can't dwell anywhere where there is serious sin.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Right? So you lose, you lose graces if you have not gone to confession, right? Mm-hmm. And you have mortal sin.
Yeah. And then that occupies that space in your heart or your soul, right? So it's, you
brings
don't want that
darkness.
Yeah, you don't want that being occupied and buried there for too long. That's why, I mean, confession is such a gift, and a lot of people struggle with confession. But if they understood the gift and the sanctifying grace and the beauty and the love of our Lord that he's offering us in this sacrament, you would probably be moved to tears that he even offered us this sacrament, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the, it brings you back to a state of grace. When we were kids, the nuns would tell us you have a big black mark on your soul.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's kind of what it is.
Yeah.
Like it puts a little dirty smudge on you. You know, those in the beginning days of Medjugorje, the local people say,
yeah,
one day she appeared in that garden back by Mariana's house.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And she allowed people to reach up and touch.
Yes.
I don't think they saw her, but they said reach out and you can touch her dress.
Mm-hmm.
And that it started to turn black. Mm-hmm. And they said to her, why? Why is that happening? And she said, because you're sinful.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So it's that black mark again.
Exactly.
The nuns weren't wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They were right.
Yeah. And we were commenting on shows before that it's important to review the commandments, the seven deadly sins, the opposing virtues, and the importance of confession. And we have to revisit this because we're bombarded in today's society with the opposite messaging.
All day, every day.
All day, every day. It just,
television
just never ends.
Is the evil one's favorite tool.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes. So it is, it's so important to keep these things top of mind and keep on aiming to be on the path of living, in the Holy Spirit through sanctifying grace, which we gain through confession. And
right. So then we have the indwelling.
Yes.
We lose it in sin. Mm-hmm. We get it back. But when you go to confession and the priest gives it to you back, you actually have to accept that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's pure gift.
It's
not something
gift,
you can earn or pray away or above it.
What's your line?
What
the
is
Lord
my
is
line?
A gentleman.
Oh, yes. He won't come crashing in on us. He is a gentleman and he waits to be invited in. And Kathleen always reminds us of that. She always says, the Lord's a gentleman. Mary raised him right. She raised him to be a gentleman.
Right.
And he will not come crashing in, so to speak.
Right.
And he waits for our invitation. So we have to be open. And a lot of times Kathleen explains a lot of times we don't even realize it, but we're blocking the graces. He's there waiting to give them to us. He's willing to give them to us, which is amazing.
Right.
Because even the slightest sin is very offensive to God.
Right.
And he's
always
willing.
But he gave us back the Spirit in confession.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we have it back, but we have to say,
yeah,
come Holy Spirit, the same prayer we just started with.
Yeah.
Fill our hearts. Mm-hmm. Right. And kindle in us the fire of your love.
Yeah. We have to invite him in.
and invite those different gifts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And be willing to forgive, be willing to let go, be willing to surrender. That sounds so easy. It's actually so difficult to do. But it's important.
Right.
It's important to try.
Right.
And even Faustina, she tells us the importance of confession. She gives us a little.
Well, she talks a lot about, we'll go to Faustina for a minute. She's one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
So St. Faustina says about it, the confessional. Jesus tells her that when she approaches the confessional, he himself is waiting there. And the quote is, "I'm only hidden by the priest, but I myself act in your soul." So he describes the priest as being a veil over his own presence in the sacrament.
Mm-hmm.
And then another companion passage is, "The person of the priest is for me only a screen. Never analyze what sort of priest it is that I am making use of. Mm-hmm. Open your soul in confession as you would to me, and I will fill it with my light."
That's beautiful. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
So if people understood that, and if you just take a moment to meditate on that, that's actually unbelievable. And it's his mercy and his love is just unbelievable.
And his own presence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is there.
Yeah.
Because we were saying in the one show, we were kind of kidding, not kidding, about how we went to Medjugorje and we all had this very stern priest
mm-hmm.
who yes. gave us all kind of a stern, you know,
yes.
Confession.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were talking about how when you come out of that, do you look at that as I'm never going again and he was
right.
mean? And or do you say, wow, the Lord had a message for me in that one and go
yeah.
home and contemplate it and think about where it came from, a place. If someone really loves you,
yes,
and you know it,
mm-hmm.
you can accept a message. Well, you can accept the message more gently.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Than if someone,
it's also pride and humility
gives it to
those
you.
Vices and virtues there. You got to put your pride in your pocket. Sometimes it's hard to put your pride in your pocket, and when someone is really straight with you and they really let you know, it's very, again, it's not condemning, but it's convicting.
I say it's a blessing.
It is. It's a blessing.
Because someone's telling the truth. They're straight mm-hmm. up. There's so much, you know, baloney going on in this world.
Yeah, and well, you may as well know and be able to make the correction while we're here, while we have time. It's actually a great opportunity to get a little glimpse of yourself. We were also talking about how you can't really see yourself. A lot of times other people
right.
can see you very clearly, but you right. can't see yourself. And, you know, he was enlightening us, that priest.
But at least we knew
yeah.
where to say to the Lord, okay, I invite you in here.
Yes.
I mean, we did know
this
a little bit
a little
of what they were
swallow.
Talking about, but,
mm-hmm.
You know, it takes a little while to ease into the message.
Yes.
And then say, okay, well, help me with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I invite the Spirit in.
Yeah.
So fill that space where the sin came out. Please fill it with an indwelling of the Spirit.
Right. And we were also talking a little bit about how St. Paul reminds us twice in 1 Corinthians. He tells us twice. So that's very important.
Mm-hmm.
Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then a second time, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you? Honestly, we should have billboards of that or something. Blast it from the rooftops, because today that message has been lost. And my body, my choice, all that kind of thing.
Right.
They are completely lacking actually in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, knowledge, things of that right understanding.
And if you're... and. Believing yourself to be worthy, and there's so many kids that take the negative messages of whatever they're reading and watching the falseness of a Facebook life
mm-hmm.
and taking that all in and thinking that they're not, you know, worthy or all that, or, you know.
Yeah, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. That's another Kathleen.
But the Lord's in you. He indwells.
Yeah.
And if you ask, you're going to get the gifts.
Mm-hmm. And then it's not, it's a deep indwelling too. Like the deeper you walk in your faith and the more sanctifying grace that you receive freely
mm-hmm.
given by God.
Right.
If you open yourself up to that, a real union occurs, and he's really bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. You know, it's not only Christ that lives, right?
He's not distant.
It's not me
he's
that lives in
you.
Myself anymore. It's Christ that lives within me.
And it's the mm-hmm. same indwelling we talked about. He's inhabited in you. We talked about that with, the Eucharist.
Yes.
out the body and blood. When you consume it at mass, it's a marital relationship.
Yeah.
The two become one.
Mm-hmm.
You actually have a piece of his body and blood
mm-hmm.
in you.
In you, dwelling within you.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. It is.
And a lot of people don't even believe that anymore.
I know. The self-giving gift of Christ is amazing. And then he just wants a little reciprocation, and we have a really hard time with it.
Right. Well, the
He's
Lord.
He's just asking for a
so
little
bit back.
So we have
this little book from St. Thomas Aquinas on the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
God judges the truth of all things by simple and utterly infallible insight. And shockingly enough, he wants to impart a share of that capacity to us. Gifts of knowledge of the Holy Spirit, right? We're able to judge. All these gifts allow us to behave more like the Lord, to have more of him in us.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we have to nurture, and we have to create an atmosphere inside of our little temple here that is worthy of the Lord's indwelling.
You know,
we have to be conscientious of the fact that he is residing in us, and the two have become one. And
we're given these gifts at baptism.
Fear of the Lord is really what it is.
Yeah.
You're not afraid of him.
Right.
What if there's any fear in it, it's the fear of losing that love relationship. If you really loved someone, which everyone probably has in their life, good, bad, or indifferent, if you had that real love, you thought you had that real love, that's kind of what it is. You would have done anything. You know, you don't want to hurt that person. That's really what the fear of the Lord is. Kind of fearing, not wanting to lose that connection.
Yeah. I always think of the Blessed Mother when she lost our Lord and found him in the temple, that she was really, that was a big test for her.
Yes.
And that was obviously a foreshadowing of the 3 days in the tomb and all that kind of stuff. But it was, that was a big test for her, fear of losing her Lord. And can you imagine if it's like when you lose, you think you lose your child on the beach or something. It's
or the women that really do lose their children.
Yeah, or the women that really
disappear.
Do lose, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That whenever I say that decade of the rosary, my heart goes there to mothers who have actually lost their children to death, or those whose children have just disappeared. That
That has to be the hardest thing that you could go through. Yeah.
I really pray for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So he went through the temple.
Yes.
Right. Right.
And so wisdom, we jump into some of these gifts because it's, boy, this hour goes really fast. Wisdom is choosing forgiveness, right? Over holding a grudge, seeing a hardship in light of God's bigger picture. So wisdom to me, how did you define it, Tara, in that book? The wisdom, we were saying it's really to know the difference between, it's, we were saying Solomon was full of wisdom, right? He had the gift of wisdom, and he understood. So we were saying how wisdom and understanding kind of go hand in hand.
My wisdom was to be on the right page.
Well, I was thinking the story of Solomon.
I was like, wait, how did we get through that page of notes? And I missed
Well, wisdom, when the two women are fighting over, they're both claiming that the baby is theirs in the Book of Solomon, right? And then he, obviously, Solomon is the one, Solomon has all the wisdom, and he understood he wasn't going to take sides or jump in. He just simply asked the question, all right, we're going to cut the baby in half. He presents that as an option, knowing, right, fully knowing that the true mother, we were just talking about not wanting to lose a child, the true mother would absolutely say, forget it, she can have the baby. And that's what happened. And that's how he discovered who the true mother was.
Right.
So he didn't judge. He wasn't, you know, he just used wisdom. He used his...
He had knowledge and wisdom. Yeah. But a lot of these overlap. He had the knowledge of the situation.
Solomon had the... And wisdom is
and
the
wisdom
gift.
To know what to do with it.
Yeah, but that's the gift that you can get a double portion of.
Yes, the only gift you can ask for a double portion. We have to ask, not.
We do have to ask. Yeah.
So even after confession, they say. You have to say, thank you, Lord, and Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
Come in, work actively.
Yeah.
In my life.
Yeah. Absolutely. So it's the gift that, you know, lets you read between the, like, read the situation, read the... I don't know if judging the situation is the right word, because we're not really supposed to judge, but I guess you have to use
some
judgment.
Well, it directs you to act in a way that is according to divine reasoning.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So wisdom, you kind of judge everything as the Lord would judge it. It's a little above. Human wisdom is very limited.
Mm-hmm.
We're limited in our thinking, our reasoning, and our understanding. And we said the Lord, through these gifts, wants to give us a little piece of himself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. We're his kids. He wants to give us a little wisdom, a little knowledge, a little fortitude to
each. We get these gifts at baptism, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you lose them, you gain them, you lose them.
I know. We don't open them up. We don't.
But you have to ask.
You do have to ask.
And the Lord has a plan for you. So some people might be stronger in some areas than others, but wisdom is about relationship and really seeing things the way God does, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So without having to calculate it in your human mind,
mm-hmm.
it's kind of like a gift from the Lord. That it is a gift from the Lord.
Yeah.
That you understand. It goes with understanding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Understanding is the gift that lets the truths of the faith penetrate, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Not just believing that the Trinity is real or that Christ is present within us, like we just said, or that you get the gifts of baptism, or it's actually having real understanding of how these gifts are working within us, how the Spirit is moving through these gifts within our lives.
And it depends on your situation. You have to have a faith walk that's going to build your understanding, which is going to build wisdom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So these gifts of the Holy Spirit are, well, you need wisdom and understanding to understand them. You need the gifts.
And at the end, you see they kind of, some of them build on each other. Some of them can be grouped together.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So then you go to counsel, right? So isn't that right judgment? So wouldn't that be a little bit of wisdom, a little bit of understanding? But you can understand in a situation fully. You know, the Lord sent the apostles. One day he said to them, you know, open your ears are open to understand the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and he opened go out their minds. And preach, mm-hmm. right?
Yes, because a lot of times he taught in parables, and they said, why do you teach in parables?
Right.
And he explained to them, and then he opened their minds so that they could understand scripture.
Exactly.
So he was giving them some of these gifts even before Pentecost.
And they went from being hidden behind a door
mm-hmm.
to having the
gifts of
fortitude
the Spirit
to go out and be bold
mm-hmm.
and boldly speak and to understand.
Yes.
Right.
They had deep understanding.
Right.
So even things like the transfiguration, those were experiential moments that the Lord brought to them to increase their wisdom, increase their understanding, increase their knowledge.
Right. And their belief, their
and
faith.
And their belief.
Because
those
are kind of combined with right.
Yeah. Order. And sometimes that's how we start to really understand these gifts is through experiences, right? So you might have some kind of life experience. We were talking about how sometimes in a moment of crisis and you have to make really hard decisions,
mm-hmm.
you might not even be asking for these gifts, but the Lord is, well, you're probably praying through those situations. And then the Lord opens your mind up in that moment, in that situation, and kind of guides you. And you say to yourself, I mean, I know it happened even with you. You were like, I don't know why, but I told that guy, don't let my son lay down, right? Don't let him be.
Right.
And then he put the ambulance EMT guy in your lap. He gave you a little tip and then boom, it opened up for you.
Right. And so I did not have understanding, but I did have wisdom. He gave me the wisdom.
The wisdom.
And later I understood.
Yes.
But in the moment I just was given wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I don't know if the listening audience
sometimes
understood
it's at a glance, at the minute, in the moment, the Lord
the
gives
moment.
You wisdom to know. Right, left. I'm sure we all have a story of where we don't know why we behaved the way we did, but we did, and it was divinely inspired.
And it was divinely inspired.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then there's even stories where even you can use the example of abortion, where women think they're going to go in for the abortion and someone outside the clinic talks to them or something happens or they might have a dream or they're just overwhelmed with a sense right before they go in that this isn't right. I mean, I feel like that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Lord giving us these gifts too, to understand this is not the right decision. You're making a fatal mistake. Don't go through. I mean, there's a lot of stories of women changing their minds at that last second.
Yeah.
And that's through the fruit, that when you're living in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruits will come through too. So that could even be the fruit of someone else's prayer. All those other prayer warriors, it could be.
Yeah, yeah.
That helps that. But that example could be used across the board. It could be anything, how a teacher interacts with a child in a classroom. It could be anything. You get a little glimpse of wisdom or understanding of what that child's going through, right? If you're a teacher or something, and then all of a sudden, instead of punishing them, you walk over and give them a hug or...
Right. Mm-hmm. Makes all the difference.
So it's these little day-to-day moments where these gifts, actually, they can start out pretty small and then grow.
Yeah. And then, so we're on counsel, which is a little bit of wisdom in that it's right judgment, right? Mm-hmm. Particularly in the decisions of daily life. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's kind of like you have an interior advisor telling you, be quiet in this situation, say this. This happens to my son all the time. My son.
Yeah.
He says, I don't know why, but I sometimes when I'm talking, you know, he works with a lot of people.
Yeah.
And he'll say, I didn't plan it. Just the spirit just started giving me the words to say to this person. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And he's counseling them and, you know, whatever the issue is at the moment.
Yeah.
So they're real gifts. That's a beautiful gift. Counsel.
Yes, counsel.
It's also when to be quiet.
Yeah. Which could be understanding, right? Like we were saying, these gifts, they overlap each other. They work in conjunction with each other.
Right.
So he gave him the gift to understand that this is not the moment to speak. This is a moment to be quiet. This is a moment to say this, not a moment to say that.
Right.
When you're open, the Holy Spirit is very gracious and he will guide us and lead us and...
Because in apologetics, that comes up a lot. Mm-hmm. So if someone really wants to attack you, right, like you have to make a decision in that moment whether to engage or not engage. You're going to get in the mud with this person or is it just better to be quiet? Mm-hmm. The Lord was quiet multiple times.
Too. Yes.
It's not worthy of the dignity of the faith to, you know. Wrestle over.
Well, like when he was in front of Pontius Pilate and he said, what is truth? He actually was, he knew that Pilate actually was looking for an answer to that question. So he was willing to answer that. But when he was in front of Herod, he wouldn't speak. He wouldn't open his mouth. He wouldn't, you know.
Right.
He had the wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Right. Not to give it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So then where are we? Fortitude?
Fortitude.
That's a big one, supernatural courage. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what the apostles had, right?
When they went out after.
Right.
They waited for the gift of Pentecost, you know? The Lord said, wait in the upper room. Don't go out until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Mm-hmm. And then they stepped out, and they had holy boldness on holy a whole boldness. New level. They might have had a little holy boldness before, but after that event, it was a whole new level of holy boldness.
But it's also any time that your faith would put you in danger or it would cost you something, right? Or you would have to compromise if you gave in to somebody's debate or view. Or
well, look at Charlie Kirk. I mean, I think he had a lot of courage.
He had a lot of supernatural courage and fortitude.
Did. Yeah, he did. Yes.
But even and on the like challenged. Smaller levels, day to day stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, he paid the price of his life because someone didn't agree with him.
Yes.
But you know, there's if you work in schools, if you volunteer, if you sit on school boards in Catholic schools, it comes up a lot. People ask, can't we wash down the faith? Can't we water it down so we'll get higher enrollment numbers?
Yes.
And you know, you have to, well, I feel I have to.
Yeah.
Speak up and say, how about we pray it up to get the numbers up? How about we increase the prayer and we don't, wash it down? Mm-hmm. And I found that to be really in a lot of schools right now.
Yes, it's in a lot of schools
right now. And you have to have fortitude. You have to stand up and say, this is not the way. Mm-hmm. It's not the way.
Yes.
And I'm a little passionate about that one.
Yeah.
In case it's not coming.
And sometimes
across.
You're fighting City Hall. You're not always the most popular one in the room. When
no,
you're
and you're not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're not.
Believe it or not, that's the half hour mark. And so we are going to go to a commercial break.
Okay.
Thanks.
See you soon. Mm-hmm.
We thank God for our one, holy, Catholic, and Apostolic Church, where Jesus remains
present to us until the end of the age, in word and in sacrament. Catholic Radio shares in the ministry of the Church to proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth. And in his sign, Catholic Radio, has been doing so for over 30 years. Kathleen McCarthy, and in his sign, have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to bring the fire of God's healing love to the world through Catholic Radio and the Internet. With God's grace, his word goes out, healing hearts and transforming lives. In his sign, proclaims the culture of life loud and clear in a culture of death. The ministry's mission is to evangelize, catechize, and to be a voice for those who have no voice, proclaiming the truth that will set all people free. To our faithful family and friends who stand with us, thank you for being missionaries with us by supporting In His Sign Catholic Radio. Without your monthly support of prayer and financial giving, our mission would not be able to continue. Our mission voice would be silenced. To our new listeners, please prayerfully consider joining our monthly circle of family and friends by partnering with us financially each month. All donations are completely tax deductible and go directly to our daily expenses, like the purchase of radio airtime and keeping the lights on. Kathleen McCarthy and all of the staff at In His Sign, except Kathleen's administrator, donate all of their time and talent on a volunteer basis at no expense to the ministry. Donations to In His Sign Catholic Radio may be sent to 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, PA 19010. Or you can donate securely at inhissign.com. Remember, without your prayers and financial support, our mission voice will be silenced.
Well, welcome back.
Welcome back.
I am Marta Kyle.
And I'm Tara Wolfington.
And you are listening to Here I Am, Lord. And today we are reviewing the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit, because we had gone through the Ten Commandments and the vices and the virtues. Mm. So we decided we were going to roll out the happy side.
Of after confession. Right. What comes next?
Mm-hmm, the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And the gifts are what we receive at baptism. So we were talking about all those and how to unpack our gifts. Most of us do not. We have all these gifts lying dormant within us, which is what Kathleen always reminds us of. And in the day-to-day moments, when we exercise things like confession, it reinstates sanctifying grace. And if we can stay in that grace and walk in the Spirit,
and ask.
Yeah. You will see the fruits. How do you know if you're living in the Holy Spirit? By the fruits. You judge it by the fruits. So that's what we're talking about today. But before we finish that, we want to remind everyone to please save the date for the 15th annual In His Sign Catholic Radio Golf Tournament. It is October 12th, 2026, being held at Old York Road Country Club in Ambler, PA. And there are many ways you can participate in this event. If you don't golf, you can feel free to join us just for dinner. It's always so much fun. There's a lot of camaraderie. There's so many ways. There's different levels of giving and sponsorship opportunities, such as, you can go through them.
The top sponsor is Platinum Sponsor, $10,000. Gold Sponsor, $5,000. Dinner sponsor, $35. Lunch sponsor, $1,500. Silent auction, $13. You can sponsor four priests for $1,000. They always love that day. The room is always full of priests, and we love having them, and they love being there.
Yep. So much fun.
The beverage cart, prize, whole sponsor. So there's a lot of way. If you can't come, you can just make a donation.
Yep.
You can find this on In His Sign Catholic Radio Network website.
Yes. This is one of two fundraisers that they host every year. And it's a great cause. We always say God loves a cheerful giver.
And he always gives a beautiful day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So come on.
Generosity is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit.
There you go.
Well, so actually, the fruits of the Holy Spirit are definitely present at that golf outing.
Right.
And at Wake Up America, because it involves charity and joy. There's always peace.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have patience when you're playing golf. Kindness.
Right. Gentleness.
Mm-hmm. Don't throw your golf club.
We always have faithfulness.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Self-control would be a good one when we're playing golf.
Right. It's a great day.
It is a great
Everyone's
day.
Everyone's always happy.
Yeah.
The weather's beautiful usually, and
it actually really is full of the whole. It's a great day.
It's joyful.
It's a blessed day.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's joyful.
Yeah.
So come on.
So
out.
Please join us, and you get to meet the radio broadcasters. You get to see Kathleen.
Right.
Yeah, it's a great day.
And play golf.
And play golf.
Mm-hmm. Or just have dinner. Who doesn't want that?
Exactly.
It's awesome.
It's delicious.
Okay. We were at knowledge.
Yes. Knowledge, knowledge, knowledge.
Yes. We had already been through wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude. Now we have knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And knowledge is just that, an understanding, right?
Yeah.
In a technical sense.
Mm-hmm.
But like the Lord wants to perfect the human mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so knowledge, you know, gives us the ability to follow the impulses of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a beautiful thing.
Yeah. And in the day-to-day world, right, it's recognizing, like an example could be recognizing maybe a certain ambition isn't worth chasing, or there's you're using knowledge in different day-to-day situations, right? Maybe
right.
You shouldn't, I don't know.
You kind of know. They come to you.
Yeah.
People call it instinct, but if it's given by the Spirit, it's mm-hmm. it's a God wink.
Yeah.
We call them God winks.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you have a little knowledge and a little understanding of what's going on.
And
right?
Sometimes it comes to you in that moment, like we were just saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And sometimes it comes and through as like an understanding of what someone's going through, and you don't really have to ask and what, mm-hmm. you know, it's a gift of the Spirit that
yeah.
you can understand.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have knowledge of what's going on, people, situations, sufferings, right?
Yes.
And how what their relationship is with God. Like mm-hmm. your knowledge is also that there's a mean to the ends and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people don't just suffer for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And you have knowledge that it all leads to
yeah.
sanctification.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And when you encounter, God always gives us so many opportunities to encounter him, right? So we were saying through the sacraments, but also through the living word, through the gospel, through the Old Testament, the New Testament. We were just saying today is the Feast of the Transfiguration. Mm-hmm. It could be experiential moments, like we were saying. I mean, obviously, that's an extreme example where he brought him up to Mount Tabor. And he was transfigured in front of them. That was a very powerful experience for them.
I'll say.
Yeah. But sometimes that was, I would think, an example of a consolation. But you might also get a touch of these gifts through desolations. So sometimes when we're in the dark
right.
night of the soul or whatever you want to say, you're just in a deep, dark period of your life.
Mm-hmm.
That can also enhance these gifts in a weird way.
Right.
So it's not how you want them, but that's how God builds
right.
our muscle. Our spiritual muscle.
Well, and that's the knowledge. You understand that.
Yes.
It's not always in the shiny, happy
moments. It's not
moments.
Always in the shiny. Exactly.
Sometimes it's in the desert.
Mm-hmm. And the desert is no fun.
The
if anyone's ever
fun.
Been in the desert, it is really dry.
and hot.
You're not getting consolations at all, like at the Transfiguration. And Peter was like, Lord, I want to stay here. Let's build three tents. This is great.
Right. Let's hang out a while.
Let's hang out. This is where I want to stay.
Right. I like this knowledge.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I just find it interesting that the Lord will show you these gifts and he will teach you and he will unpack these gifts for you, but in such a variety of different ways. And we don't always like the way he chooses for us, but it's always the best way for us to learn.
Right.
He's
always giving us. And we should have the knowledge that no matter what it is,
yeah,
it's all to
and the fortitude
get us where he needs us to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Protect us from,
yeah,
you know,
poor Job, things. You know, poor, yeah, Job, he really went, right, through it.
He had no idolatry.
His friends were saying, I know, and his friends were, I mean, he had a rough run and he had to wrestle. It's like Jacob had to wrestle. It's interesting, you do have to wrestle through some of these gifts with the Lord,
right?
It's not all hunky-dory,
right?
Mm-hmm. So,
but at least you have the knowledge to know that the wrestle is for a reason.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Even St. Francis in the very beginning, he wrestled a lot. So he gave up his wealth. He renounced his wealth. He went out. He lived a life of poverty. And he had some rough moments. But he was given the gifts of the Spirit so that even though he was in these rough spots, he could have joy and peace and patience and...
Right.
I always think of St. Francis. And then at the very end, generosity of spirit and all that kind of stuff, kindness, he made his way all the way, right? He had the most difficult task to get to, I don't know if it was a sultan or who he was trying to get to.
Right.
And then he finally makes it and they agree with him, right? And then his brothers, his Franciscan brothers, end up blowing the whole deal. They end up...
I hate it when that happens.
So, I mean, talk about patience. And then he wrote his whole rule of life.
Right.
He had his whole rule written. Yeah. And he was gone for a long time on this journey to get to this. I don't remember who it was. If it was like, I keep saying a sultan, but whoever this, the head,
right,
of the.
High, right.
Mm-hmm. And the and then when he gets back, his brothers are saying the rule's too hard. We you know, we've grown now. And we can't live according to your rules of poverty and this and that. We have to be able to have some food and some provision and this and that, because he was one that relied on the Lord entirely.
Right.
And so the poor guy, they threw out the rules too. And he just had such a... I'm like, wow, St. Francis really went through it. Do you remember that?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Anyway, read about it. It's kind of fun. But he was able to stay in joy and peace, and I mean, the fruits of the spirit of St. Francis. I mean, it's really, it's unbelievable. No, he didn't just talk to the animals, you know? He wasn't just...
Well, that's why he had animal friends.
Yeah.
they were the only ones that had wisdom and counsel and knowledge.
Right. Well, not the wolf. Wasn't it St. Francis that spoke to the wolf and told him to stop scaring the townspeople and threatening them?
Right.
Yeah.
Which wolf will you feed?
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, that was a huge digression. Sorry about that. We should be talking about knowledge. But he did have knowledge of the things of God. So even in desolation or consolation, you have the knowledge to know that it's the Lord,
right,
working in
it's
your life
good
and you through you. Yeah.
And it's
and
for
he's always
his
working
goodwill,
everything
his
for
good
a greater
purpose,
good.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have piety.
You. Yeah.
Right, where the Holy Spirit enables us to come to God paying homage that is appropriate,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a disposition of how you come, right, before the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You see him as a father.
I think of Our Lady. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then
she
that
was always very pious.
Love,
yeah,
overflows, and that's how you treat other people.
Mm-hmm.
It's all really going back to your body's the temple. The Lord lives there. Ask for the gifts of the Spirit. The Lord wants to come and live in you, with you, and through you.
Yeah.
And that goes out to your neighbor,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
That grows.
Yeah.
The piety you have towards God becomes a charity that grows. Just like the sin grows, so does,
yeah,
the...
So do the virtues.
So do the virtues.
But imagine the piety Our Lady had. I just will never get over this. During the Passion, during Our Lord's Passion. I mean, any mother who watched her son be so viciously tortured and treated. I mean, and she was pious the whole time. She maintained her disposition. Like, she, it's unbelievable to me that she was able to do it. And she was suffering so deeply. Mm-hmm. And she was able, but they say she didn't have one bad word to say about Pilate or about the Jews releasing Barabbas or about the cruel treatment her son was, you know, it's, it's unbelievable to her piety. Woof. That's the, always the example because I think
the,
of.
It's to know the ultimate purpose, to love, serve, right?
Yeah.
And honor God.
And it has nothing to do with our feelings.
Right.
You know, it's about wisdom, knowledge, understand. She had full understanding of what
this was all serving a greater good.
And so she was very pious. And I don't know. It's just mind-blowing to me.
Because
really,
the humanity fights the, right? Yeah. Your human mother.
Yes.
You know.
I mean, if someone even insults your child, you feel like going off the handle. You get that
story
mama
coming
bear,
on.
You know? You get like, really? Oh, yeah. I mean, I did. I had a school teacher who was really rough with one of my kids. And boy, my mama bear came out and I was trying to maintain myself, but I just really, I lost it
back in the confessional.
Yeah,
to meet the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Have a new indwelling of the Spirit.
I had some things to say in an email. I can tell you that. I'm like, let's talk about this.
Right.
And then I,
and here we go.
And she was off to the races.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, especially with your children, it's so hard to maintain a pious. I don't know. It's really hard because you want to jump to their defense or. When you see they're hurting or when you see they're suffering or when you see it, you really suffer alongside them, right?
You do, yeah.
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 And maybe even more sometimes. Sometimes you used to say your children will be in college and they'll call home and they'll tell you something. They're sad or they're homesick or they broke up with a boyfriend, whatever they did, right? And you're up all night worrying about them.
Right. And you call the next day and they say, what are you talking about?
They're perfectly happy.
You called me last night and, you know, in tears and your whole world was falling apart.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Never
mind. I'm perfectly fine today. That was yesterday's. Yeah. I know that when my one son went away to college, he was really homesick. I mean, this guy was homesick. I felt so bad for him. And he would just call home and call home and call home many times a day. And they always tell you. Or advise you to encourage them to go out. Don't sit on the phone with them. Encourage them to try new activities or get out of the room or go to the diner, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it's so hard because you just, you want to die for them, you know? You know that they're suffering so bad of this homesickness. So you can try all those things, but really.
Just takes time.
You end up just begging God, like, please, please, God, please, let's please.
Because after Thanksgiving, it all works out, and they go back, and then they never
And then
leave.
They're so happy. Yeah.
You say, I spent all that time in a hole. There it is.
Yeah, so we should probably use the gifts of the Holy Spirit when we're dealing with our children a little more heartily.
Right.
Rely on them a little more.
Right.
So trust.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Piety. Are we on fear of the Lord?
I know. So anyway, I can't get over Our Lady. She's the most pious example. I really. I think I digressed again. I have the gift of the rabbit hole.
And the last one is the fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So it's, we talked about it's not fear that's something that we're afraid of, but it's fear of something that we're afraid of losing. We talked about that first love, right?
Mm-hmm.
So scripture calls the fear of the Lord actually the beginning of wisdom because you're not afraid of the Lord, but you're afraid of separation from him.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And don't they say when you die, right, and you go to why is the word going on in my head?
Purgatory.
Purgatory. Mm-hmm. It's a loss of the Lord. You're suffering from a loss of the Lord. Right.
Yeah. Separation from our
separation. So we forget that we have that here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so it's a fear of losing that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're afraid of everything in your life is afraid of being separated from the Lord, then you're never afraid of anything in the world.
Sure, exactly. It would give you fortitude, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I think
see,
those
by
two
the
have
end of
to
the
go
show,
hand in hand. Yeah.
So let's move on and see which ones do go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to ask yourself, do you have these wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, fear of the Lord? Mm-hmm. These seven gifts, right, are active in our when our soul's in a state of grace. So how do you actually know if they're working? What do you look for? You can't really see yourself, as we talked about, right? Mm-hmm. And you can't really judge for yourself what you have, but you can see the fruits.
Yes.
So if you want to know if you have them, then you can look at the fruits. And the fruits are charity, joy, yes. peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, gentleness, faithfulness, modesty, self-control, and chastity. Mm-hmm. Right?
Those are some yummy fruits.
Those are great things. Right?
Yeah, they are.
So we did break them down in a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
We broke them down. Okay, so charity, joy, and peace are usually the fruit of wisdom and piety.
Right.
Right? So if you mm-hmm. have a life that's rightly ordered around the Lord and your relationship with him, right, then you'll have love, joy, and peace.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. It doesn't depend on your circumstances. It just depends on your connection to the Lord. And you'll always have, you know, Kathleen always says that she's always at peace, which I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because of her relationship with the Lord. Nothing disturbs her peace.
Mm-hmm. Even when she's in crisis situations, there's
which
plenty
we've seen,
of them.
Right?
Yeah, there's so many of them.
Yeah.
And she even said on Tuesday when she was in, that's one of the things that she highlighted. She said, I never lost my peace throughout this whole thing. And that was a very tragic situation that she was dealing with. She has a lot of big, heavy things going on right now.
Right.
But she's able to stay.
And that's a fruit.
Exactly.
Of wisdom and piety.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so the next one is patience, kindness, goodness, and gentleness.
Mm-hmm.
Usually show up when you have fortitude and counsel, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
They're what courage and right judgment look like and how you treat other people, especially the difficult people.
Yes, that is very true. I know someone who is so patient and they deal with the most difficult people. It could be business or family. And just as an observation, just as someone who's always sitting back kind of observing this individual, I'm always amazed at the level of patience that I see, because I think to myself, woohoo, if that was me, I'd tell that guy to go, you know.
We would have a story.
So, yeah, exactly. We would have a story. But there's always gentleness and kindness. And I hate to say it, but even when you're dealing with individuals that suffer from addiction or suffer from...
That's tough.
Hard. That is a test of your patience, your kindness. And you have to have real wisdom when you're dealing with these situations, because mm-hmm. it's not about, like you say, they use love as a weapon, and you have to have counsel, and you have to have knowledge and fortitude and courage. Boy, oh boy. That
fortitude.
Is, yeah. That will help you grow your gifts. Meh. From 0 to 10 pretty fast.
Yeah.
It's really hard.
It's really hard
on both sides. On both sides. The poor guy going through it and the guy trying to help the guy. You know, it's really...
A lot of things in life. Even toddlers.
Yeah, or any kind of
even
illness.
Toddlers that like temper
toddlers,
tantrums.
Toddlers. Yeah, you know, I mean, chronic illness, anything.
Patience, kindness, goodness, and gentleness.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny because I feel like I ebb and flow through those.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That could be like... I think that's like anything.
Mm-hmm.
You move in and out and you grow and then you may regress and then you grow a little more.
Exactly.
It's like climbing a mountain, right? You climb up and then you got to go back
up. It's your whole faith journey.
Go back up higher.
Right.
Yeah.
It's your whole faith journey.
Yeah.
Up, you slip.
Yeah.
You start going up, you slip.
Yep. You have to go
your
low.
Humanity
you go
gets
high.
In the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Generosity and faithfulness. They're fruits of a soul that have internalized knowledge and piety.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Seeing everything as a gift rather than a possession to be held loosely and to stay faithful to commitments, because we understand what faithfulness costs the God that we're actually imitating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? So generosity and faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's hard to be faithful, you know, when the world's always showing you. We went through that when we talked about the sins.
Yeah. Or even back to Moses. Transfiguration. Moses really was tested. The Jews really tested him.
Right. And tested in small ways.
Yeah. Sometimes his gentleness went out the window when he like threw the tablets down. He's like, I have had enough. Right. You know, I've been up there for 40 days and 40 nights. And then you guys are down here building a molten calf. Right. You know, like, what are you doing?
So, partying.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Yeah. But he was able to stay faithful and patient. And he did pray for the people. He kept going back and begging the Lord to give us another chance, us another chance.
And that's faithful.
And that's faithful.
And that's the same with the addict and the same with the knowing the child will grow.
It's our humanity in general, I guess. And no matter what situation you're facing, it can really be challenging.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Modesty, self-control, and chastity. Mm-hmm. And that's where the fear of the Lord really comes in concretely because, you know, a soul that's afraid of nothing but losing God thinks of themselves differently, right? Mm-hmm. You don't need all those external human things of the world. Mm-hmm. And you keep yourself modest, chaste, and under control because you realize that you have the Lord indwelling in your temple.
Yeah, and you don't want to offend him at even the smallest degree. Yeah.
And this is big. This is big in the world today. Modesty.
Yes. Self-control.
And chastity.
It's lacking severely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, because there's not a lot of fear of the Lord. I think we forget that God is God. And I think we can make our own decisions. Like we were saying, my body, my choice. It's, you know, I'm going to decide what gender I am. I'm going to decide, right?
Well, and the body's beautiful. We should be able to show it off. Other cultures don't behave the way we do. They're more free about nudity. You know, there's like a whole lot of things that go on about, you know, that whole subject.
Yeah. Right. So there's a serious lack of fear of the Lord in today's world. Not for long, right? Not for long.
Right.
I think God's going to bring us all back. But believe it or not, we only have 2 minutes left.
Right. So anyway, we wrap it up with if you want to see where your life is going and you want to, then just look at the fruits.
Look at the fruits.
Are you more patient? Are you more generous? This is like evidence that the gifts are taking root. Mm-hmm. So just like sins can take root.
Yeah.
You know, the Holy Spirit gifts can take root and produce all these fruits.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. So confession restores the indwelling.
Yes.
From the minute absolution is spoken, the seven gifts, that operate a soul into a state of grace are returned to you. Mm-hmm. And the 12 fruits are the visible proof over time that the gifts are doing their work. Mm-hmm. So we're all human and it's just a cycle, right? It's a run, repeat, fall, return.
Exactly.
Bear fruit, fall again, return again.
Yeah, I called confession the second chance program. It's like the 99th chance program.
Right.
Yeah, and so thank God he gives it to us. He's a good and an awesome God.
So it's a beautiful thing, and it is actually the Lord.
And it should be cherished. Confession should be cherished, and we should be so thankful that we have it.
Right. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle with us the fire of your love.
Send forth your spirit.
So that's you.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And you shall renew the face of the earth. Lord, you don't just forgive us and leave us. You move in. Give us thoughts. I can't say this word today. Docility this week to let you actually run the house, to act on the wisdom, the counsel, the fortitude you've already given us so that what grows in our lives actually looks like you. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for joining us. We hope you enjoyed the show.
Wait for
Dr. Anton Raimondo. He is up next.
He's up next. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Have a good weekend.
Take care.
Join us again next week as we explore scripture reflections, personal stories, and practical encouragement, leading us to say, "Yes, here I am, Lord."